Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
And alone with his thoughts, drowning, asking for help. Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. And you can always watch us on ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Those include Jhené Egbuemeke is going to be joining us at the top of the 5 o'clock hour, as she always does, coming off of practice. The LA Sporks getting ready for the preseason. And so in the meantime, Jason Fitz, kind enough to come over and join us, because after filling in for Max Kellerman and the Max Kellerman Show right before us and sticking around to host Spain and Fitz, which you can hear every day, 7 to 9 Eastern on ESPN Radio after us here in the lineup, Fitz just thought, I'll talk even more, because why the hell not?
Yeah, well, let's give everybody a peek behind the curtain. For anyone that thinks that we talk about sports and then the mic comes off or shuts off and we stop, we don't. And so most of the time, those of us that, you know, we have good relationships with, you'll look down every once in a while and you'll see your phone and you'll be like, oh, I must have said something because I'm getting some texts. And, you know, as I was hosting Max, we were having a little Aaron Rodgers debate. So I was like, heck, I'm just going to go over and talk to my buddy Mike even after the Max Kellerman Show.
It's one of those things. By the way, I commend you for doing a radio segment that was good enough to where I felt some kind of way about it, because I was sitting there listening to you go on and on about that. And I thought, you know what?
On and on.
I would say, I mean, you were going on and on a little bit.
On and on. I just keep. Okay, go ahead.
I was like, I was thinking more of like the Too Short. I go on and on.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, nothing for you?
No.
All right. Well, you know what? We'll save that for another
Christopher Cross or 80s, some 80s reference, and you went Too Short. Okay.
I can say, honestly, both pretty on brand considering the circumstances here. And so before we get too far into that deep end, why don't we get into a little bit of Aaron Rodgers?
Breaking news and Aaron Rodgers' situation overshadowing the NFL draft. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports the Packers' star quarterback has told the team he doesn't want to return to Green Bay. The Packers have made it known they have no plans to trade him.
Jason, this storyline has slowly become, and not even slowly, it's actually more rapidly become Deflategate meets the Dallas Cowboys Dak Prescott quarterback situation meets who are we going to take third overall in the draft once San Francisco traded up. Like, this storyline has become insufferable in a hurry.
I blame us.
Yes.
And a repeated,
yeah,
like, over and over and over again, because you mentioned, like, we spent all summer last year talking about Dak and how, oh, God, I mean, there's so much distrust between the two sides. A deal will never get done, and then a deal got done. And then we spent all of this time, even this year, getting to the offseason saying, oh, unprecedented movement at the quarterback position. It will be a delight. If your idea of a delight is Carson Wentz to the Colts and Andy Dalton to the Bears, you got what you wished for. Like, every single time there's a quarterback involved, we salivate, and we go, and we think that it's going to be like, it's like making homemade pasta, Mike. You think it's going to turn out fantastic. You think it's going to be the delight, and then you realize you should have just gone to your favorite Italian restaurant because it's easier and it tastes better.
Yep, I would say you're covered in flour, there's weird noodles hanging on where you'd normally dry your clothes. It's just
inconsistent thickness, all of these things that you deal with when you're making pasta from scratch.
Inconsistent thickness, for what it's worth, great cover band name.
It's time for
Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Speaking of thickness, former Green Bay Packers fullback John Kuhn was the latest in former Packers-related people. We'd heard everything from Brett Favre about all this, talking about what's going on with Aaron Rodgers, the discomfort. And my favorite part about this is that in some article I read on the internet, John Kuhn was referred to as frequent golfing buddy of Aaron Rodgers, in addition to being a former fullback and teammate of his. But here was John Kuhn talking about, and this was on the Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio, talking about the discomfort in this situation and what Aaron Rodgers has going forward.
Just because he has differences with a head coach or a general manager or anybody else, like, it doesn't necessarily affect his play and his professionalism. I still think it's somewhere around 70-75% that Aaron Rodgers is the starting quarterback for the Packers this year.
So he hasn't ruled out a return to Green Bay is what you're telling me. Are you saying that at all?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I still believe there is an opportunity at a resolution here, and I just think it's going to take two men that are dug in right now and trying to meet in the middle somewhere where they're both happy.
Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Jason Fitz. And Fitz, the thing that you brought up when you were filling in for Max earlier today that piqued my interest was this idea of, what do the Packers care if Aaron Rodgers sits, I believe was one of the takes that you brought up.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm the Packers, realistically, look at their draft history. Aaron Rodgers comes in and says, I want weapons. They say, yeah, that's cool. We'll see you this fall. And they do whatever they want to do. Now we have Aaron Rodgers saying, but this is what I want. Okay. Why do the Packers care at all? Because realistically, they already told you Jordan Love's going to be their starting quarterback at some point. If they're ready for that, then they'll ship him out. Nobody seems to think they're ready for that. At this point, now you dig in because you don't want to have proof of concept get to the field too early, and then you look like an idiot. A lot of pride, as you've taught me over the years. I always say, like, you and your dad really opened my eyes working together, that you know, there's a lot of ego and there's a lot of, you know, coaches and front offices have their own way of doing things at times. I can't imagine how you swallow your pride and your ego at this point and say, you know what, Aaron, you want to get out of here. We'll make that happen. Why?
Well, but that's not my contention. The question I posed is, and the question I heard you pose is, why would the Packers care if he sits? That's the worst. Like, if we're going to do best case scenario, worst case scenario here, the worst case scenario is if that guy sits and you get the Jordan Love that clearly Green Bay expects right now, one that's not ready. Because Aaron Rodgers is dumb rich. He's got long money at this point. Like, that guy could afford to sit for some amount of time to show you what's really good with this situation. That would be the absolute worst thing that could happen. Like, that's the number one thing the Packers should care about is if we let it get to that point, we've lost everything.
But if you let him sit, that's terrible. If you trade him somewhere else and you get a bounty of picks back and it's going to take 3 or 4 years to see what you got in value and he wins a Super Bowl in front of your fans while you're watching it happen, that to me is far worse because now you got to answer that question. Like, Belichick versus Brady was a hypothetical until Brady won a Super Bowl. And now all of a sudden we see the timeline for the Patriots and there's speculation. Did they speed up the timeline because of what Brady went out and did? Like, if you're the Packers and you're looking at worst case scenario, to me, him going somewhere else, winning a Super Bowl while Jordan Love struggles, that's worst case scenario. Him sitting, the fans were already booing Aaron Rodgers commercials at games yesterday. Like, there were reporters talking about, like, fans are going to take the side of the Packers in this. It's what they always do. So if he sits and it puts Jordan Love out there, then he's the bad guy.
That's fine. Fans are going to take the side of the Packers until that team starts over on the season while Aaron Rodgers is sitting somewhere with Shailene Woodley sipping Mai Tais. Like, then you're going to look up and say, wait a minute. We've got nothing now in return for this quarterback. The misery and the shame around this is only going to drive down what people are going to have to ask for him, and you'll have lost. Like, we could argue they've already lost their ability to maximize what you could get in return by not getting this done for the draft. And so the prospect of getting less or not getting anything and then getting that to reality versus, all right, you know what? If you're the Green Bay Packers, you're Brian Gutekunst, and you're saying, we planned for the future. We make no bones about that. Plenty of people will say, hey, you know what? The job that Goody's done, drafted some pretty good players, brought in a pretty good coach, has overall organized this thing pretty well, and bet on the future that might not be ready to come right now, but it's the future that you have attached yourself to as the GM. And so you can look at that and say, all right, we'll get a haul in return, we'll start our future a little early, and we'll have a ton behind us. That would be, in a lot of people's mind, relative to the situation, good GMing here. You've already, like, the hay is out of the barn. Unless you can do more visits to Aaron Rodgers and somewhere along the line, maybe John Kuhn is right and you get a guy that's a little more willing to meet you halfway. But if not, what about the situation are you going to change other than how much you return versus facing that possibility of Aaron sitting down and making you look really bad?
I think the problem is there isn't an easy halfway. You know, and we've always said, like, when you talk about negotiation, sometimes you know you got the right negotiation when everybody at the end feels a little meh about the deal you got, right? Like, I can't even find that ground here because if you're the Packers and you're looking at it and saying, okay, now, to your point, we didn't get anything done on the draft. So the earliest we're going to really see any return is we might get a stopgap quarterback today. And then realistically, we're going to get draft equity. We hope that in the next 2 to 3 years pans out to keep us really competitive. That's a very long-term play. And that is a marginal return compared to what the MVP of the league is worth. If you're Aaron Rodgers, there isn't really a halfway on this because they didn't get you the weapons and you feel disrespected. So maybe they offer you so much money that you turn around and say, okay, I'll at least make you hurt that way. But I feel like we're less likely than meeting halfway is having two sides with a ton of ego saying, you know what? Fine. If that's the way you want to play this thing out, then I don't need the return as much as I need to make sure that you don't play football again. And conversely, the other side saying, I'll give you back the money. I'm just not going to play for you. Like, that's the level of if it's really about ego being hurt in this process and feelings being hurt, that runs both sides. And that's why I think they'll get dug in on it. I don't think he's going anywhere this fall.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Jason, there was one thing you brought up in there that I want to get back into. I also want to talk with you about James Harden and this Brooklyn Nets thing coming up. And is there anything harder than being friends with the fight guy? Why, what we saw in the NHL has a lot of tentacles to real life that I want to explore with our friend Jason Fitz. We'll do that next here. Chenan Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. with Jason Fitz sitting here on ESPN Plus.
Chenan and Golick Jr., the podcast.
History would say they would have to play at least a dozen games together, and that's going to be something that potentially the Nets are facing down as being a little bit challenging.
You still need to be able to play at both ends to win, ultimately.
Do you? One man sees some problems with the Nets formula. We'll get to that in just a second. Chenan Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Mike Golick Jr., Jason Fitz, kind enough to give us some time while we wait for Chenan to get off basketball practice. You can check Jason out. He's filling in the Max Kellerman show earlier today. He's going to be on Spain and Fitz later tonight. And Jason, I know you spent a lot of time talking earlier about what happened in hockey last night, because we saw the Washington Capitals and the New York Rangers settle things the only way hockey knows how. And I'm excited to talk to Emily Kaplan, our ESPN NHL insider, about this in about 10 minutes. But I'm also fascinated by just what we saw. Like, all of these guys having to go out and answer for one man in Tom Wilson being the fight guy, like being the dirty fight guy. Like, we're aware of his reputation and all of this. And we were talking before the show, it's a difficult thing to be friends with the fight guy. And then I realized, if you look around the group and you're wondering who the fight guy is, it's you. And we have one in our midst right now, Jason. You are a noted and unapologetic former fight guy.
Yeah, I was, pre-anger management, heck of a fight guy, not going to lie. I'll never forget, I was sitting at a corner in Nashville many years ago, and I was having a loud discussion with my then-girlfriend, now wife, and as the car, there was a car, the street light, and they honked and yelled something. I don't remember what they yelled. I might have been a little inebriated. So the car went to the next light. Well, I ran the car down because that makes sense, a full car. And the guy rolls down the window and says, "What are you going to do about it?" And, me at 5'9", 160, just immediately went, right in the guy's face.
Oh,
just right
God.
In the guy's face. Like, I was fight guy. I look back at previous me. I was fight guy. And all four guys got out of the car, and I'm like, let's go. So thank God there were a bunch of cops there, and they saved me really from myself. But I've had guys, bigger than you look at me there in my circle of friends and say, "You got to stop. Like, we got to be, we can't do this anymore."
That's the thing. Like, you would have to be, and Jason, you're a very good friend. You're a great coworker, all of these things. But you would really be have to doing something great for me. Like, Tom Wilson put it, like, being able to have the abilities he does is what keeps teammates defending him after this many egregious instances of this. Like, no offense, but at some point, your friends all, I'm sure, had to sit you down and be like, "Listen, we can't do this every time we go out."
Yeah, I mean, everybody in the room can feel it. Like, when you're the guy going up to the bar to get a drink, and they're like, he doesn't need another one, and there's people at the bar, and somebody's going to say something. Like, let's be real, Mike. You'd let me take one solid punch, right? Like, if you were having a fight for me repeatedly, you just let me take one, like, tooth knocker.
At some point, it's the only way you're going to learn, Jason, much like the $5,000 fine that's not going to deter Tom Wilson from doing this again. Like, I have to figure out a way, because clearly just talking to you about it's not going to work.
And that's the biggest, like, a $5,000 fine for somebody that has signed $61 million in contracts in his life. Like, what is that? That's like me getting in a bar fight, and then at the end of it, they're like, "Hey, put a quarter in the bucket. All right, you know the rule, a quarter every time you get in a bar fight." That's not going to stop me. It's got to be more money and, frankly, more policing. And all of those things eventually sort of woke me up to my idiocy.
It's got to find a way to get Jason Fitz off the fight game, and we've got to find a way to do that in the NHL. So we'll talk to Emily Kaplan here in a couple of minutes as we get set to try and digest everything that happened, because there was a lot, especially around the Rangers, that's happened in hockey. So excited to get into that with her. But before we do that, Jason Fitz also said something interesting about the Nets earlier today.
History would say they would have to play at least a dozen games together, and that's going to be something that potentially the Nets are facing down as being a little bit challenging.
You still need to be able to play at both ends to win, ultimately.
So down the stretch, Jason, the Brooklyn Nets, who we heard earlier today from James Harden that he is very confident, and I saw this from Christian Winfield on Twitter, very confident that he's going to be able to play in some games before they get to the playoffs. We have heard and well documented and talked about all the things that are in their path, and yet it still feels like, Jason, I've said a million times on this show, they're so talented it makes me afraid to pick against them because we've never seen a group that can offensively amass this kind of arsenal. You still have a lot of doubts, though. Doubts enough to say you don't believe they have any shot of winning.
Yeah, this. Come over to the dark side of the force. I've been saying this on Spain and Fitz for a little bit. I'm out on the Nets. I am completely out on the Nets. Not long term. I think, you know, realistically, it's a little like Miami. It took the Heat a second to get that big three integrated together in a way that they could win. And realistically, when you look at what they're going to have to figure out, who's going to get the ball in different situations. Yes, Harden thinks he's going to be fine. He's going to knock the rust off. We're given a ton of benefit of the doubt to the Nets and their ability to get healthy, get right, and immediately put it all together, while at the same time giving absolutely no benefit of the doubt to a 76ers team that looks good and a Bucks team that looks good. And frankly, the Nets and the Bucks right now, if the playoffs started today, have to play each other in the second round. So by the time they get to the 76ers, they will have beaten each other up. If I'm in Philly right now, I'm looking around saying, man, there's one team in the East that really cares about playing any level of defense. And by the way, has the star power to win in these matchups. Like, if I'm Philly, I feel real good, but I don't even think the Nets will get past the Bucks.
See, that's my favorite thing about what this Nets team represents, because I know for a lot of people, like, Mina Kimes has jokingly adopted them as her team in the NBA to show just how insufferable people can be latching onto the Nets at this point with all the weaponry they have. But that's just it. They have the ability to destroy everything about sports that we thought we knew. You need continuity to go win. That helps. Yeah, screw it. We'll play like eight games together over the course of this season. You think we need, I don't know, defense on that? Nah, we'll just go ahead and win without that. We'll overwhelm you so much with offense. On and on down the list, Jason, they would basically debunk anything we've ever thought is true about sports. And part of that's exciting to me because I don't like us being able to fall back on all these tropes all the time.
I mean, let's be real. If we get a Nets-Lakers final, nobody's going to be complaining about it. You got great heroes and villains, but we just learned this lesson. Like, the Clippers were just in this same conversation of continuity doesn't matter. They'll figure it out. It doesn't matter.
But they weren't this good. Offensively, the Clip. Now, you could say maybe the combined forces of offense and what the Clippers were going to give you on defense, but I think that the sell with Brooklyn is this is an offense that when James Harden's back, we've never seen before.
Well, and a defense that we'll never see because they don't play any of it. So every year, I find myself in the NFL. Every year, I make the argument about week 13. I set my clock this year. About week 13, 14. I come in and I'm like, look, the numbers show you. Nobody cares about defense anymore. Defense doesn't matter. And then you get to the playoffs and you're like, what the heck? Like, suddenly now everybody cares about defense. I think the NBA is going to be a little in the same mold of this. So, and I don't think we're necessarily giving Budenholzer, Coach Bud, enough credit for the way he's reinvented Milwaukee, what they're doing offensively. Drew Holiday has been a delight. So I think we're sleeping on the Bucks and the 76ers and how good they are comparatively to the Nets.
Oh, listen, we have been asleep at the wheel on the Bucks ever since the minute Giannis signed that extension. Once we couldn't tie every performance back to his future, we're like, we'll see you guys later.
You're right, though. We love the drama of where's the guy going to go more than the drama of back-to-back MVPs for somebody. And I've said this over and over again, but if social media had existed when the Bulls were trying to break through the Pistons, we would have ripped that whole thing apart and been decided that Jordan had nothing. Like, absolutely impossible.
I think the funny thing about that, because I heard you bring that up, is the fact that I thought used social media to rip the Bucks organization a lot more, saying, is Drew Holiday going to be enough? Have you put enough stars around Giannis? Because we kind of demand that in a post-Anthony Davis world, especially with what we saw in New Orleans, LeBron part one in Cleveland. It's all kind of tied together, but I'm with you in the fact that we have largely ignored them. You have not ignored Jason Fitz if you've turned on ESPN Radio at all today. You caught him on Max Kellerman earlier. He hung out with us here. You're going to hear him on Spain and Fitz right after us, 7 to 9 Eastern. Fitzy, appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks for having me, brother.
All right, coming up next, the Rangers and the Capitals fought it out and gave us one of the new great memes on the internet. What's the fallout look like, not only for these teams, but for the league after some decisions made? We'll get to that after this word from 303 Products. Have you ever seen a vehicle at a stoplight or a parking lot that just seems to stand out because of its deep mirror-like paint? You're probably thinking you don't have the money, you don't have the time to spend to do that on your own vehicle. Think again, because with new 303 Graphene Nano Spray Coating, it's a revolutionary new product that's going to give you the same level of protection and shine that you'd get from a professional detail, but it can be done yourself in your own garage. I've done it. My brother's used it. It's incredible. All you've got to do is spray it on, let it haze, and then buff it off. I got my brother sending me pictures of his pickup truck saying, look at the shine on this thing out in his driveway. He is the pride of Massachusetts right now, and that can be you too. Spray on, let it haze, buff off. You'll have up to a year of paint protection in addition to that jaw-dropping depth and gloss that's going to have others admiring your ride on its next drive. It helps repel dust. It reduces water spotting to keep it looking cleaner between washes. You can also use it on the car's glass, the wheels, the trim, everything. It's now available at Advance Auto Parts and Pet Boys locations nationwide. Or you can learn more by visiting 303radio.com. Back with Emily Kaplan next on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
You guys watched what happened the game before. I had no beef with anybody else on their team.
We all saw what happened the other night. Nobody's happy about it. I couldn't be more proud of these guys.
Were you expecting what happened at the opening faceoff?
Yeah.
Six fights in the first 4 minutes and 14 seconds of a game. 141 combined penalty minutes between Washington and the Rangers. The Caps get a 4-2 win, but at what cost? Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Again, Janae going to join us at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. But we have hockey news, big time. And it usually means that something has happened, unfortunately, bad. And the NHL now has piled on. So for anyone that's missed this situation, it all goes back to Tom bleeping Wilson, Washington Capitals forward, who in an altercation on a game Monday night was given a $5,000 fine for punching a player in the back of the head while he was down on the ice. It was egregious. $5,000 is the max fine allowed by the league. And when the Rangers called him on it, called for the firing of George Parros, the Department of Player Safety head, the Rangers got fined $250,000. And so to try and make sense of this, Emily Kaplan, our great ESPN NHL reporter, is joining us now on the Goodyear Hotline. And Emily, before we get to anything else, like, Tom Wilson clearly is the fight guy in the group. He is a line stepper habitually in this spot. And we said it's very difficult being a teammate, being a friend of the fight guy. I can't imagine you were the fight person in your group of friends ever coming up. Were you, Emily?
Thank you so much for seeing that in me, because no, I was not.
I can say I see nothing but kindness in you, Emily. So
walk
me through this situation, though, because the NHL now fining the Rangers $250,000 for their statement about George Parros is only adding fuel to the fire. Where does this go after a very heated penalty filled matchup last night?
Great question. I'd love to know. And, you know, I think my hunch is, knowing the way the NHL works, it's going back exactly where it's gone, and we're not going to see reform, and we're not going to see change, and everything is going to operate as usual. You know, when the NHL levied that fine on the New York Rangers, $250K, really on James Dolan, it's because when you look at this league, most owners and GMs don't speak out against the NHL or its decisions or Gary Bettman. He usually has everyone in line. So this was a really, really rare and bold statement by them, and the NHL is like, we don't like that. And you see in the way that it's going to affect their pockets. But if everyone's saying, well, the Department of Player Safety has to be reformed, we have to, you know, get X, Y, Z, that's not really the way the NHL works. And they seem to be quite satisfied with the job that George Parros has done heading the Department of Player Safety. I know a lot of teams in the league are as well. Some teams, you know, might have gripes here or there, but for the large part, he's well liked. So I don't know if this goes anywhere.
Emily, the other wrinkle in all of this is the James Dolan factor that you mentioned, because James Dolan, by all accounts, was the source of that very strongly worded statement by the New York Rangers. And then after all the attention was on that, he went over and fired their general manager, Jeff Gorton, their team president, John Davidson, on Wednesday. And that news seemed to catch a lot of people off guard. Why, Emily, was this so shocking to so many people?
First, it's shocking to me because all of a sudden for a week, James Dolan decided to give the Rangers the same care and attention that he gives the Knicks, which is being very hands-on and making some pretty dramatic choices and being pretty public. You know, he'll say, and they'll say they had nothing to do with the statement. I've heard some people in the league suggest that maybe that's why they fired him now, because they were actually trying to distance themselves from the statement, maybe even calling people, saying, no, 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 that wasn't us, because they knew how unpopular it was going to be received by the league office. I did think that there was a chance for change this offseason. The Rangers are a team that's rebuilding. They are close to the end of that rebuild. And if you ask pretty much any general manager of the league, how do you think the Rangers are doing in their rebuild? They'd say, great, ahead of schedule. I wish I had that young prospect core and those young players coming up. But James Dolan's an impatient man, and it just wasn't fast enough for him. The other aspect of it is the guy they promoted, Chris Drury, former player, really well-respected since he's taken this role in front office. He works really hard. They knew they were going to lose him eventually. He's getting a lot of interest from other NHL teams, and I think there's just a chance to promote him here, and they want us to do it.
Janang Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to Emily Kaplan, our ESPN NHL reporter. You see her all over the network. You see her as a panelist on Around the Horn, always doing a great job. And Emily, big picture here, because this is something that comes up in a lot of sports now when it's issues of player health and safety. We know, like you said, large-scale reform for the Department of Player Safety, probably not going to be something that comes. But in general, we've heard this idea in the public floated that hockey had been trying to kind of distance itself from a lot of the fighting. Do you think ultimately any part of this is enough to really change anything about the way we look at that? Or is that argument something that we've maybe overblown, this idea that they're trying to get it out of the sport?
You know, I don't necessarily think it's overblown. Hockey right now has never been in a better place, in my opinion. There are so many skilled, fun players coming up in the league. The NHL just doesn't do a great job protecting them, and you could argue that maybe they need to enforce some rules that protect their superstars like we see in other leagues, like specifically quarterbacks in the NFL. We're just not there yet. But fighting slowly has been phased out. There's still a place in the game for it, though. You know, there's still a place for self-policing. There's a reason why most GMs in the league would take Tom Wilson on their team, and most players would say, yeah, I want him as my teammate. So I'm not sure, you know, we're ever going to see it totally eradicated. I think we're going to see it, you know, in a small place. But what I'd love more is, you know, you mentioned I'm all over the network, and I think I've had more TV hits in the last 2 days than I had in my first 2 years of the network combined. And I hate that I'm talking about this. I wish I was highlighting the better parts of the game, the parts of the game that I love. But unfortunately, this is what gets attention.
I can say, unfortunately, I've heard the same refrain, Emily, so often from our great ESPN MLB analyst, Tim Kurkjian, because I know you guys love the sport so much, and it tends to be these things that at times pull everyone else into the fray here. But if you do want great coverage in the NHL, you're not going to get anyone better. Follow her on Twitter, at Emily M. Kaplan. Check her out on Around the Horn, SportsCenter, all over our network, doing the best job covering the NHL. Emily, thanks for the time today. We appreciate you.
My pleasure. Thanks for the hockey chat.
Absolutely. Like I say, I know Ryan Matlack right now, one of our great producers around the show, is somewhere beaming as we get more puck talk in this show. But coming up next, we're going to go to a familiar place. We're going to go to college football. Although this time, the voice that I have the biggest disagreement is the former NBA star, now Hall of Famer, Charles Barkley. What he said about the upcoming changes in college football that I think is dead wrong. Next, here on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Here's Wonderwall. Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr. hanging out with you guys. 15 more minutes and you get Chinee back. She's going to be home from practice, ready to rock with us here on the show. And before we get to some things going on in the state of Georgia, the name, image, and likeness bill there, and one NBA Hall of Famer who I actually think has missed the mark on this particular issue. We spent a lot of time because of the Tom Wilson, you know, fight issue, the Caps and the Rangers, that great hilarious meme now of like six Washington Capitals players all in the penalty box together. We've been talking a lot about the difficulty of having that friend who's the fight guy. Everyone in the Caps knows Tom Wilson is going to be that dude. At some point, you're going to have to get into a fight because of something he's done. And he's so good at hockey, as Emily Kaplan, who just joined us, pointed out, that you're going to put up with that. But it's not easy for everyone. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. What's the worst story you've had with one of your friends being the fight guy? Or maybe you're the fight guy. Either way, we want to hear from you, 888-SAY-ESPN, because we were starting to go down the list here on the show of the people at ESPN that we thought might be on that, like, stay ready hands team. I'm so far at Ryan Clark, our ESPN NFL analyst, former Steeler safety, hard hitter. Teddy Atlas, our ESPN boxing analyst here. No one wants any parts of Teddy. That's the fight game. Daniel Cormier fits into that, but I feel like he was professional hands. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, Cliff, that doesn't feel like it should necessarily count.
It's not fair. Like, you can't bring a heavyweight MMA guy who actually was a heavyweight champion at one point fighting John Jones into this mix. That's not fair.
It feels unfair. Christine Lisi, were you the fight person in your group
of friends?
I was.
How did you know?
You know what? Just call it a hunch. Christine, like, you're a Bills Mafia member. I just assume that everyone that comes from that fan base is ready to throw down at any
given
time.
Always, especially on a Sunday between 1 and 4.
I'm going to say, that's
in
why that's why I don't make eye contact with Christine Lisi around here on the weekends.
Whoa, that is a revelation. Christine, you are the fight person in your group?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely,
what,
yes.
Are you throwing people through tables and all that?
Yes.
I'm mortified right now.
I was going to say, so listen, 888. Say ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let me know who the Christine Lisi of your friend group was, who anytime you go out, you got to worry about that person being the fight person. We'll take those calls in a little bit, but before we do that, I want to talk about the name, image, and likeness thing that's happening. So Georgia, very quietly stepping up to the plate, and now looks to be a state where the name, image, and likeness bills, that allowance for college athletes to make money off of all that good stuff, going to be going into place by July 1st, allowing players to immediately become eligible to do that. We've seen this happen in a number of states. It's starting to become real. And now we can have a debate about the effect it's going to have on recruiting, all these things that I think are going to take some time. It's certainly not going to be something that affects the powers and changes and shifts it in favor of the teams that are already doing really well. But this was something interesting I heard from Charles Barkley. Charles joined our friend Paul Feinbaum on the Paul Feinbaum Show on the SEC Network and talked about what he thinks the name, image, and likeness rules would have been like for him when he was in school and what he thinks the result would have been inside the locker room.
I know how it would have worked. Me and Bo would have made a lot of money. But that being said, listen, first of all, I love all my players in basketball and football. I'm not sure how this name and likeness thing is going to work. I think it's going to cause a lot of issues because you think about this. I was talking to Bo about this earlier. Bo's going to make a lot of money in jerseys. He's probably going to get a car deal. But what about the big, ugly offensive lineman? Nobody's going to be buying their jersey. They're probably not going to get a car deal. Nobody's going to be buying a defensive lineman's jersey. I think it's going to create a lot of resentment among teammates. So I'm really concerned about the name and likeness thing going forward.
Janae Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. God love Charles for playing the hits on this one, but he's just wrong. Like, we all know how the game goes. I knew when I was playing in college that I wasn't going to get money if I was getting name, image, and likeness money like a guy like Manti Te'o or Tyler Eifert or Golden Tate there. Like, we're not all that drunk on our own image of ourselves. And so I don't think that's going to be an issue. What's going to be an issue is if you're a state that's not doing this now, very quickly when the transfer portal is becoming a more prevalent thing, you're going to have to start to watch out and get left behind. Now, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Give us your best story about you having to go out with the fight person in your friend group in honor of Tom Wilson. Let's go to Brandon in Nevada. Brandon, you're on Janae Golick Jr. What was your experience with the fight
person?
How's
it going, man?
Who is the fight person in your life, Brandon?
The fight person in my life is my wife.
Oh, no. Oh, no. What? Like, is this... Do you have, like, a specific story for this,
man.
Brandon?
She likes to start with everybody. Doesn't matter. She is fiery, and if you say something she doesn't agree with, she is going to get into your face.
Have you ever had
has to clean it up.
I was going to say, have you ever had to throw a punch on your wife's behalf?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. We were at a local sporting event, our Reno Aces, right? Some guy is just kind of, you know, he's drunk, he's drinking. Hey, we're at baseball. It's super fun. And she is telling him to sit down, shut up. He's cussing all over the place. And she is not backing down, getting in his face, getting pissed. And I had to step in and I was like, this is going to end one of two ways. Either I'm getting beat or he's getting beat and it's not going to end well. And she's put me in a couple of those positions. It's been super fun.
It sounds like a great time. 888-729-3776. You can't run away from your wife being the fight person either. Like, once you have married into that, once you said I do, because you had to learn about that in the courtship process, there was no going back on any of that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Give us your best story about having to deal with the fight person in your group. But coming up next, James Harden says he's very confident. Should we be confident in the Nets? Hearing that next.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.